You can get consolation from all sorts of falsehoods, but because it's consoling, it doesn't mean it's true.
There are a lot of very religious scientists around.
Science. There is no evidence for any kind of supernatural being of any kind.
You think people should not have a choice of what to do with their body?
Anti-murdering the unborn.
And I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need
But why should I believe? Well, because it's the truth.
All right, welcome to Science, Faith, and Reasoning. Today is going to be a great discussion. I got my brother John here, and we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence. Welcome, John.
Thanks for having me, big guy. Looking forward to, talking about AI and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, we got it from a long way away. It's been how many years since you came back?
I came in 2017. It was the last time, so I guess 6 years, a little over 6 years. So it's been a while since I've been in the U.S.
Yeah. At my wedding.
Yeah, it was your wedding.
Yeah. So it's been a minute. Just a little bit about John, I guess. He is a computer scientist, so this is in his arena.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a computer scientist. I mean, I got a master's in computer science. Computer scientists are typically people that have like PhDs and are researching, so I'm more of a programmer. But I do, my job title's AI engineer. So ML for machine learning. /AI engineer. That's my job.
Okay, so like software engineering, or
so using AI, integrating AI into software.
Yeah. Okay, so this is right up your alley. I'm sure you've thought a lot about this.
Yeah, and I've thought a lot about it, read a lot about it, and to a certain extent, programmed it.
Okay, so this is terrific. I think this will be you're the perfect person to have on here to talk about this. And it's something that recently has come up that I've noticed when those songs were coming out, where they would show you a song and it would be by like a robot, but they would tell you it's like Drake or something.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even know, like, until they told you, like, oh, I thought that was the new
Drake song.
Or,
okay.
So that happened. And then the DALL-E, computerized artwork.
Yeah.
Were the two main things. And then OpenAI came out, the ChatGPT stuff.
Yeah.
Where you could ask it a question, it would answer you, write a research paper, all that kind of stuff. Until the ChatGPT thing came out, I wasn't really that impressed with it. I mean, the music was a little bit scary, but I was like, oh, I mean, they're making music, whatever.
Yeah.
The ChatGPT thing, it's like, okay, now you're replacing human thinking. Like, they're going to be doing all the papers. They can do all that better than I can in milliseconds. So that's where I got a little bit scared.
Okay.
And I started writing this script. Now, before we get into the questions, I guess, just kind of our worldviews, I think will play an interesting role in how we interpret some of this stuff. So obviously, I'm a Christian, so I have that sort of foundation on how I'm going to interpret this new technology stuff. And then for you, I guess if you want to talk about what your beliefs are for a second.
My beliefs are just like agnostic. I don't know. So, and I don't, I mean, you know, I'm very much an engineer. So like engineer, mathematics, like, can I build a system that works? That's what I think about. So that's kind of my beliefs. Like, yeah, I don't deal too much with it. But like, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Because I'm very, you know, a scientific method, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we'll have some agreements and some disagreements. Yeah. So we'll just get right into the questions. The first question is, because I've heard different, I guess, definitions and explanations. I really don't even know what the definition is. So what would you say AI is?
Yeah, so this is a term, wow, I don't even know where to begin, really, because it's very confusing. People use AI as a term to label a lot of things, right? So I guess maybe we could go back, I'm trying to think how we should, we could split it up in two areas. So we could talk about artificial intelligence and artificial general intelligence. And in general, these are two strains of thought that are kind of divergent, because AI can be applied to everything, right? It could be, people call like the technology that we use to recognize whether or not, you know, a cat is in an image is called AI, right? And, you know, if you're building those systems, you don't think of it as being anything really intelligent. Like it's, it doesn't have an intelligence. And there's artificial general intelligence, which I think was coined by Ben Goertzel, who's like one of the leading researchers. And he sort of delineates AGI as general intelligence, sort of like human level intelligence. What people, I think, tend to mean nowadays when they're saying AI is going to take over and all that kind of stuff, they're thinking of like a human level intelligence or something more intelligent.
Okay. Yeah.
So now the way I like, I'll be probably referencing Goetzel a bit because I like the way he thinks about stuff. And so he thinks he defines.
Who is that exactly?
Ben Goetzel. He's one of the guy, one of the few people. So right now, so 2023 now, people are finally starting to realize like, oh, artificial general intelligence might be something that's feasible, right? But for the past, like, I don't know, what would it be? Since started in like the 50s with AI, you know? So I guess for, what would that be? Almost 70 years, most people, maybe not most, but a lot of the people in the field have thought, you know, okay, human level intelligence is still pretty far off, like at least 50 years, 100 years. Now with ChatGPT, I would say that's where a lot of people are like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
It might actually happen because there have always been researchers that said, you know, like 2030, we're going to have AGI. But I would say they were probably like the outliers, you know, like the few minority.
Yeah. Well, ChatGPT is where I was like, okay, this is concerning.
Yeah.
I wasn't that concerned with it until I saw that. Now, from your perspective, kind of knowing how some of these things are built, is it that impressive really, like from your background? Or is it like, oh, well, I mean, I saw this coming. This isn't really very.
Well, I kind of want to, before we go to that, I mean, yeah, I definitely think it's impressive to answer, like, just quickly answer it. But I think we should talk about, like, what is intelligence first so that we know what that is. So Ben Goetzel, getting back to that guy, he defines intelligence as, like, the ability of an agent. An agent's the term you use for, like, it could be a cat, a robot, like, any individual. So that's an agent. The ability of that agent to recognize patterns in the world around it. Or within itself, like when it's within its own memories or thought structures. And then using that ability to solve complex problems in a complex environment. So it's kind of general, but it would mean like you could make a cup of coffee. You could also go to the university and study for a degree. You could carry on a conversation. You could also acquire new knowledge in that conversation because you're recognizing like the patterns of speech of a new language and all this kind of stuff. And that's a lot of things that humans do. So that's when we're talking about intelligence. I really like that definition. So think about it as pattern recognition and then using that ability to recognize patterns to solve complex problems, right? Okay. And increasingly complex problems. So you could think of like an intelligence of a dog or a cat to be able to solve some levels of problems, you know, like getting in the door or finding food. Right. And then more intelligent, you know, agents can solve more and more diverse and complex problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where would you say that these technologies are in terms of like, and that's actually one of the next questions is where is AI currently? So would you say, is it the rat brain?
Yeah.
Is it the cat brain? Like where are we at?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we even at any of those?
Yeah. So even now, like with ChatGPT, which we might get into a little bit more, but we've had specific sort of, I can solve this one problem very well, perhaps even better than humans can, you know, like when it comes to image recognition and stuff. Like there have been papers that have shown that like, okay, if you feed some of these quote unquote AIs, but it's really just like neural nets and algorithms. If you feed them enough data, they can recognize, for instance, cancerous images from a radiology department better than, you know, doctors have been doing that for years, right?
And that kind of goes into your master's thesis or master's assignment.
Yeah, I did some of that. I did some work in that when I was doing my master's. But it's a...
You were looking at throat cancer, wasn't it? Was it throat cells?
Yeah, it was... essentially throat cancer, yeah. Okay. but I think that's a very specific problem, right? That's one problem, and the AI can solve it better than a human, right? And that's all most of the progress that we've had for the past 70 years. ChatGPT is interesting from the perspective that, I mean, what was mind-blowing to me is that we can have something that seems to be intelligent, right? It can do all these different tasks. And really, the way we're building that is just feeding a neural net, just tons of data. And so it's analyzing the statistics of human language. And then based on the probability of like the next word, it's generating something that feels intelligent.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if that answered your question. I kind of lost track.
I'm not sure where we were, but that was good. So we talked about the difference between AI, AGI. I guess the next thing is, should we be concerned about this?
Yes, but there's lots of things we should be concerned about, right? So the question is, how concerned should we be?
Yeah. You know? Is this going to take over our lives?
Exactly. I mean, we should be concerned about asteroids hitting the Earth and destroying all of humanity. We should be concerned about climate change. We should be concerned about the next pandemic, that it could be, you know, much more lethal, right? So on all the list of concerns humanity has, where do I put
concern
about AI?
Top five?
I've kind of like wavered on this, and I really can't say. I would say I think the most likely outcome is what we've always done until now, and so I'm not very worried about it. I will
most likely outcome in terms of how far it can go.
Yeah. So what have we done over the course of human history? We've created technology, and we've integrated that technology more and more into our own lives and even ourselves. Right. Like virtually everyone these days has basically offloaded a lot of their knowledge, ability to navigate the world, et cetera, into these devices we call smartphones, right? And we just like carry them around in our pocket and everywhere. Or we have a smartwatch and have it on our wrist, right? Right. And then we have all this new technology that's augmenting our own abilities. And so I think AI, at least for the foreseeable near future, like the next 5-10 years probably, is just going to be a continuation of that, where we integrate it better and better into our own like capabilities.
Right. And this is where I become really concerned with it, because with the generation of the artwork and the generation of the music, I think, I believe mankind is made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of debate on like what that actually means. But I think one of the big things is we're very creative.
Yeah.
Like God's the creator, so he's very creative, obviously. But if being creative is a huge part of our purpose in life, then it's scary to me that a robot is about to take over that last aspect that humans actually had. Because what they can do is, like, what I think is coming next is with, like, TikTok. You're scrolling through. They recommend videos for you. The videos you like that you stay on, they create a profile for you, and then they recommend more of that kind of stuff. And then they're also, and they're also trying to predict what you're going to like next. So I think what they're going to do is take that massive database of everything creative people have made and then generate new content that's fake based on that stuff, just like they are with the artwork with Dolly and all that kind of stuff. So then you, like, up until now, we've had to rely on these small percentage of the population that is creating things that other people consume.
Yeah.
Now that tiny little wedge of human creativity that's left will be phased out, and a robot will replace them and do it better than they have.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
And that's very scary to me.
I don't know if it's scary, but I think that's certainly going to happen, because I forget who it was, but I think it might have been Max Tegmark who was talking about this. But if you imagine imagine a landscape that has a bunch of hills and valleys, right? And we have an artificial intelligence, which is, as we define, ability to solve problems, complex problem solving. And it's getting better and better over time. You can imagine it's like water flooding into that landscape. And as it gets higher and higher, it's taking over things that humans can do, right? And it's better than humans at those things. Like maybe at the very, and it's interesting where those valleys and where those peaks are, I think, because we've, you know, some things that are highly specialized and require years and years of study, like, for instance, recognizing whether or not an image is cancerous or not, AI can quickly do much better than humans.
Hmm.
Other things, like, for instance, a nurse taking care of an elderly person, fine motor skills in the fingers and you know, carrying people around and moving, this robotic type artificial intelligence is very difficult. And we're still, I think, very far away from that.
Okay.
So that might be at one of these peaks, right? So as the artificial intelligence is getting better and better, it's just taking away different jobs, and eventually, given enough time, and we don't kill ourselves and all this stuff, it'll be better than humans at everything. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think, I mean, me personally, getting back to the creative thing, you can imagine the creative aspect being like one hill, you know? And there's certain things that AI is quickly getting better at, like maybe, I don't know, if you sketch an image, let's just take this as an example, I don't know, but like filling it with color. You know, let's say AI can do that quickly, much better than humans can. Okay, well, it quickly gets better than that.
Yeah.
And so initially, all these things creatives are just going to use to make better art. But at the same time, we have all this art, and we have the feedback from the humans to know what's good and what's bad. Like, someone writes a book, a lot of people buy it, or a lot of people don't. You know, Harry Potter, one of the bestsellers. So you feed all this into these algorithms, these AIs.
Yeah.
As they get better and better, they'll be able to make creative works that are better than what any human can make.
Right.
Yeah. And we as humans will enjoy it. We'll find it much better than a Harry Potter, you know?
Yeah. And I think personally, like, having, and you write a lot, and you've created fiction and like short stories and poetry and stuff.
Yeah.
And I like that kind of stuff too. Not necessarily poetry, but fiction or nonfiction kind of stuff. And when you do those things, it's so motivating to be like, final frontier. To me, that kind of aspect is the final frontier now. It's like, something hasn't, a story like this has not been written yet. I want to write it.
Yeah.
And with the ChatGPT thing or the robot doing it, it's like, okay, yeah, I could write this story or I could plug in my idea to a robot and it's going to do it a million times better than me.
Yeah.
Like, that is so soul and spirit crushing to me. Like, it just completely, it's very depressing.
Is it?
To me, it is.
Okay. I don't know if it's depressing to me. I mean, I think it's, to me, I just see all the potential, you know? Because, I mean, our brains are only capable of so much. We only have the cognitive ability to solve a certain amount of problems. Like, as I was talking about, ability to solve complex problems. Like, human level intelligence, certainly not the peak of potential intelligence in the universe, right? So, to me, it's amazing to think about what all, there's this idea, well, what all even more and more intelligence could discover about our universe, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I think is cool, because it's like, if you think about, there's this idea that I came across at some point, and it's that humans are the universe discovering itself. So there's this very simple evolutionary process, and through that evolution, it's the intelligence and awakening of the universe. And like, we're just here on a level of intelligence. Like, you could think, okay, humans are here, you know, dolphins might be here, maybe some other animal that's fairly intelligent, like a dog, is kind of here. And the next step in that evolutionary chain is what we're creating right now, which is like our children, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Are you saying the robot is the next thing?
I think so. I think it'll be a product of, I mean, it's a product of everything we are as humans, right? Yeah. We're feeding it with all our data, all our morals, all our ethics.
So it's, and that's, like a hive.
That's simultaneously the, that's one of the biggest problems, I think, is it's, you know, all the flaws we have as a species, we're also imbuing into the AI. And so if we're not very careful, we could, things could go wrong there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like a, just because how they build all these things off a data set and we're the data set. So it's like a hive mind of all of humanity's data.
Yeah.
That's being plugged into this thing.
Kind of. I mean, we don't have all the data hooked up like that in that way right now, but still there's a lot of data that's accessible that is a product of a large percentage of humanity that is getting fed into these things. Yeah.
So you brought up like mistakes and errors from humans being imbued on this.
Yeah.
So what do you think about regulations? Do you think, I think Elon Musk was asked about this and he was like, basically we need, you know, whatever's feeding this massive factory that's doing these computations, like you need a hard shut off.
Yeah.
So like, do you think that's a reasonable
thing? I don't think a hard shut off's reasonable because this is one of those situations where it's, I don't think it's achievable, let's say that, because if any company says we're going to stop, everyone would have to stop. And the problem is, how do you get every company on board? I mean, but across all the countries. And I guess maybe it's possible. I haven't read about like atomic bomb treaties and stuff, but it's one of those type of scenarios where, you know, if someone doesn't have an atomic bomb and the other one does, well, then the one that has the atomic bomb is going to win everything.
Right.
So like if one country develops AGI and another country doesn't, the country with AGI cannot take over the world, that kind of thing.
So do you think it'll have major advantages country to country?
Yeah. Whoever has the best artificial general intelligence, I mean, think about it. You're able to solve better problems than anyone else. That means mathematical proofs, physics, building military weaponry systems, everything is going to be better. And it's going to increase at a faster rate. Like, it's going to improve at a quicker, exponentially. So it's going to improve quicker than the opponent's technology improves.
Yeah.
So it'll just increase the gap at a further and further accelerated rate between you and other countries. Yeah.
Do you think,
that's why I think it's not really feasible for them to say we're going to stop it. That doesn't mean I don't think we shouldn't like regulate it and try to do a lot of research to like, how can we imbue these systems with the ethics that are aligned with our own ethics and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. So I guess just for the regular guy though, which jobs are you thinking this is going to replace the quickest?
Yeah.
And then who will be replaced last?
Who will be replaced last? I think last are going to be anything that's like human to human interaction, like me and you, because that's going to be the hardest. That's going to be kind of like the last phase. And I don't even know if it'll be worth it at the end of the day to create an AI that's like passable perfectly as a human, right? Like we're sitting here talking right now.
Right.
So I think any of those types of jobs are probably going to be saved. Also anything like I was talking about earlier with robotics, like fine motor movement in the hands and like being able to just pick up this cup and not crush it and like take it, you know, take a sip and rotate it around this. Like all those things are extremely difficult in robotics.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, like manual labor jobs, that type of thing is going to be a long time.
Okay, so a lot of, I guess, factory work, though, could be streamlined more. But
factory work could be streamlined more, probably, yeah.
Maybe, like, home building or things that take a fine, like...
Where it's not a defined environment. So if you're going into, like, let's say you're repairing old homes, like, long time before AI is going to... You're going to have robots going in and doing that, you know?
Yeah. So who do you think will profit the most? Is anyone profiting off this right now? Like, because DALL-E, ChatGPT, all this is free. I haven't seen ads, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Is anyone making money off this now? And who is going to make a lot of money off
this? You know, I haven't looked at the new startups in this and what they're doing. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, everyone's going to be profiting from it in this sense. It's going to be like, I mean, even right now, you see this people at work, like using it to write emails, using it to summarize reports for them and stuff like that. So they're going to profit in the sense that one person, one employee is going to be able to do more work for the 8 hours, right? So they're able to accomplish more. So it augments their ability. So in that sense, you'll definitely profit from it. And that's happening right now in, you know, hundreds of thousands of companies.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, someone we know very well who will remain nameless apparently uses ChatGPT to write his letters of recommendation.
Do we? I don't know about this reference.
Oh, do not?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you later. But, okay. Yeah. So, like, that's happening. I know that students at my school have used this because you can tell, like, I've talked to some of the other teachers when they get papers that are not handwritten, but typed. That you can't find plagiarism in it because ChatGPT will generate a completely new essay every time based on that topic.
Yeah.
It'll even do references and everything. But because it's never been done before like that, it's not plagiarized.
Yeah.
But you can tell, obviously, it's not their voice. They're not, like, it's clearly not them. So I think in education, it's a huge problem.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
And it could be a huge benefit.
Yeah.
I can imagine lots of ways it could help teach and things like that. But I think it's...
Well, ChatGPT specifically... Yeah, I see what you're talking about. But in general, you know, in augmented intelligence, I think the ideal situation would be that you have a tutor that can explain things to you in the way you need them to learn them and can pose questions to you that engage your mind, you know? So like a one-on-one expert in that area. Like imagine if you could have a tutor that is essentially a Richard Feynman every day, you know?
Right.
For your physics class. And it's just you and him. And then maybe maybe Einstein comes in and maybe Dirac. And those...
Well, how do I compete with that?
Well, they're conversing and they're putting it at a level where you can understand it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you could have that one-on-one engagement. And so I think that's the potential, you know, of what it could be.
So then you'll have like a human principal who's making decisions over his robot tutors.
Yeah, I don't know what the education system would look like. No idea.
Oh, man. Let's see. So we talked about who will profit. Or did we talk about that exactly? Yeah. Who will be harmed the most? I know we're talking about job replacements, but do we see any other areas where this is going to be harmful to people?
Harmful? Well, now, if we aren't careful about the way we develop, there's a lot of people that are going into this now, but it's interpretability of these AI systems. So a lot of times AI systems will make decisions and they'll have results or whatever, and you don't know why they did it and you can't really understand why. So I think some of the danger is that they make decisions and we just trust those and we don't know why they're making them. You know, so I would say certainly the area which is called it's a field called machine learning and interpretability, but essentially you're trying to have models of the world, these AIs that essentially you can open them up and ask them and understand why they're making the decisions they make. So that is certainly an area we need to stay on focus. And there's another emerging field, ethics of AI, right? And I think those two areas, because you could easily see a scenario where people just like start trusting these things and then it's heavily biased against minorities or whatever. And there's been tons of research to show that type of thing. Like when you train these big models on something like Reddit or it'll get stuff from 4chan and all this stuff. And so that's what I'm saying. Like some of the dangers are the negative aspects of humanity itself. Right. And so it's like just decision support systems is one of these areas. Like if you're a judge or you're a jury, or you're in, like, maybe if you could imagine a scenario where you fed it in, like, all the data, and it would tell you whether or not this person is likely to commit the crime again, you know? And so you definitely need to be able to know, well, why are you telling me this? And you also need to be able to get that out in a way you can understand and reason about as a human. And then you also have the danger of that you've trained these models with data that's biased against certain groups or people or whatever.
Yeah, we already are very trusting of computers. I don't ever doubt that Google Maps is going to take me to the right place.
Yes. You know?
And when I Google something, I assume that it's true, like if it seems to be a reliable source or whatever. And for search engines, or I guess ChatGPT has kind of become that, you ask it a question and it gives you an answer, and you don't know where it came from. Is that reliable? I mean, it's just what it says.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how they train these robots to go. Like, do they have certain sources that they prioritize and then they go to those first? Or, like, how are they programmed to know what information's more accurate than something else?
As far as I know, they can't. They don't know that now. That you just feed them a ton of data, basically.
And it is, like, making decisions about
essentially
what's more accurate.
You feed in Wikipedia, all of Wikipedia, like every language, you know? You feed in all of Twitter in every language. Like, just that's how you're training it. And then, yeah.
Yeah, it just blows my mind. Like, who is making decisions there? I guess the machine is.
That's crazy. Making a decision? It's not really, it's not making a decision. It's, that's the thing that's kind of hard to explain, but it's basically using what I would call statistics to generate the most likely, like, to make a prediction of what you want to hear and generating that.
Of what you want to hear, not what's right.
No, based on your prompt. So you give this question, and based on its prediction of the most likely answer to your question, it generates that text.
Okay.
So from my understanding, but like I said, I haven't read the ChatGPT paper. I'm just guessing based off of how everything has worked before it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So benefits to the average person. Obviously, we talked about a lot of the harms. What are the big benefits that we're going to see maybe soon? And then what are some big benefits we're going to see down the road?
Do you think? Biggest benefits are all the problems we can't solve because we don't have enough resources, enough intelligence as human beings, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you could cure cancer, you could cure disease, you can make it where people can live 400 years, you can make it where it's impossible for people with birth defects to be born. Like, literally, so much suffering in the world you could just get rid of completely. So, I mean, it's really is kind of like...
Like the high potential.
Yeah. That's not so only that, but like, for instance, infusion, technology, energy. Like, imagine having... like some of these physical systems that we want to create for abundant energy, we'd be able to do much better if we had more intelligent systems or like a super AGI being able to create it, you know?
So you feel like the upside is well worth the risk?
Well, I wouldn't say well worth the risk. I would say both, they come with each other.
Yeah.
So you get you have that incredible upside. You also have the potential that the AI is not aligned with human ethics, realizes humans are destroying the planet and decides to kill them all.
Yeah.
And we don't realize it till we're all dead.
How likely are we to be in the Matrix right now? Has AI already been invented? Are we in tubes? So I think actually that's about to shut off because it has a 30-minute limit.
Okay.
So we'll take a break, and this will be part one, and then we'll finish part two in a second. All right,
sweet, yeah.